up next on the program, we welcome in a gentleman who, I call him a local media historian because he's done a wonderful service for media members and lovers of Member in the Area by starting a terrific Facebook page on Bangor Radio and Television. Steve Ginn with us this afternoon. Steve, welcome in.
Good afternoon, Rich. Thank you.
So before we talk about the site, talk about your own media history, because you've been a part of the media for a long, long time. Where and when did it begin for you?
Well, it started way back during the videotape era. I was working at a video store, and one of the people there also happened to work at WWMJ, and I started a weekend fill-in, and from there I went full-time into the traffic department. And then I went and became the business manager at community station WERU. And then I gave it all up for many years, and I have my own station at maineinternetradio.com now, and just enjoying the whole thing.
Nice. You're working with our friend Kim Mitchell, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, what was the inspiration for starting this Facebook page?
Well, to be honest, Rich, I'm a baby boomer. I'm in my 60s now. I don't know how I got there.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. But I have always been interested in local media, especially, you know, Curly O'Brien was as big a star to me as Johnny Cash was. And it seems like a lot of these people were being forgotten. And some people might remember who they are, but they did not know much else. So I started compiling some mini autobiographies of these people, and I needed a place to do it, and Facebook offered a price at its right. So I started putting some things on there, and it just grew more than I ever thought it would. I am very humbled by the people that have joined on that page. It's a who's who of Bangor media people.
Well, it is indeed. And yeah, the response was overwhelming. And it's not just the people that loved listening or watching, but many of the people that were on radio, on TV, the behind-the-scenes people. And it really has become a great meeting place to celebrate a remarkable history of media. And we've talked about this before here on the show. For a small market, not only have we had an incredible number of very talented people here, but just to have I don't think any other market this size had, which was three network affiliate television stations plus public television. And then, you know, at one time, I don't know, 16, 18 different radio signals coming into the market.
Correct. The thing that amazes me about it, like you say, the people that have gone on, we've had people go from here to major market. Newscasters have gone on to CNN. It's quite the training ground, quite the proving ground. If you can make it in Bangor, Maine, you can make it anywhere.
Well, that apparently is the case there. Now, I know, too, like me, even though we've worked in the media, we still have a whole lot of respect and admiration for some of those people who came before of us, and some who are still going out there. And I think we share a love and respect for what I would call the triumvirate of local broadcast legends. And let's start with the guy who's still on, closing in on 70 years on the air in the market, George Hale.
Yes. Everybody knows who George Hale is in this area. You know, he's missed no-school announcements back when that was the only way to receive your no-school announcements. They weren't on TV. Half the stations weren't signed on by the time school was starting. You know, there was no internet. So George was Mr. No School Announcement, amongst the many other things, the sports broadcasting he has done. You know, programming WABI for many years. George is just a pure legend.
And I can't imagine, maybe there's somebody out there somewhere in America who's been on the air as long as George has been, but I can't imagine anybody else will do that. The thought that somebody could be on the air in the same market, in the same time period for 70 years.
I don't think the man would know how to sleep in. I'm not sure, but...
No, I don't think there is either. And George, I mean, still on, still sounding great, and a great guy. And I always he gave me a lot of advice through the years, but gave me, I think, the best piece of advice anybody ever gave me about radio, which is that it's an intimate medium. And quite often, when people listen, they're alone, whether it's at home, in the kitchen, or you know, in the bathroom, getting ready for work, or in their car, going someplace. And he always said to me, never pluralize your audience. Don't use words like everybody and everyone and all of you. Imagine that you're just talking to one person. Now, with my ratings, turns out that's often true. But but no, it was great advice, and I think about that every time I go on.
Yes, you followed him on the air many years also, did you not?
I did, yeah. I did the midday show there for a number of years when our friend, the great Steve Martin, left to work down in North Carolina. Now, I also had a chance to work with another of those three huge legends in Bangor broadcasting. Nobody has ever done what Eddie Driscoll did back in the day at Channel 2.
No one has. I keep hearing the story that Milton Berle even admired Eddie Driscoll. Now, how much truth there is in that, I don't know, but...
I've heard that story then, and they had a little chance to go head-to-head. I believe it was over at Lakewood back in the day, and and Eddie was the star of the show. But he was, I don't know how many hours a day. I mean, we're talking back in the late 50s, maybe the early 60s, but he was doing several different live shows a day. He did a couple of cartoon shows. He did a kid show. He did a show that was aimed at women, an interview show. He did Dialing for Dollars and all of that. And so much of it, the kid shows, he created. And I had the wonderful opportunity to go down in Ed's basement back in the day when he showed me all of the puppets that he and his wife Ruby made. And just to do that was incredible.
Wow. Yeah, Eddie, definitely a legend. Met him once at the Ellsworth Shopping Center. He opened up the store Brits, and he brought along his robot. I was mesmerized. that was a long time ago. But he had the Super Supper Show every evening. And Eddie, yes. And don't forget to send in the info about your bean suppers. I mean, he had many catchphrases, one of a kind, and we were very lucky to have him.
Yeah, and then the third one who's still on with us every Friday, the legendary Mighty John Marshall, who epitomized, and you worked with him at MJ. Has there been a better rock and roll DJ in the state of Maine? I can't think of one.
No, and I would even say he would be in the top 10 in America. He's just that smooth. If I could be half as smooth as him, I would be happy.
Yeah, Mighty's the man and still going strong, and we're happy to have him on every week here. But, yeah, certainly three great representatives of Bangor Media. We're talking with Steve Ginn here on Downtown. He runs the Bangor Radio and TV Facebook page. It's a pretty monumental task doing all that, and you got some help. Who are some of the people who help moderate and keep that site going so strong?
Well, Jeremy Mixer, who used to work at Zone Radio, he's now in Southern Maine, he helps out. Helen York, who used to be a presenter on MPBN, she helps me out also. And Toll Tompkins, who was a DJ at WBGW and worked at Channel 5, he also helps out. So, yeah, I feel pretty darn lucky to have those people beside me.
And Steve, I think one of the great things you did was to not have it be just a private group of broadcast professionals and former broadcast professionals, but the fact that there are members of the public too, and for them to have a chance to interact with the people that they used to watch and listen to, I think it makes the site that much more fun and exciting.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder to keep the spam out, but it's worth it in the long run when you hear from people who just bring up their memories of listening and or watching the people. The item with the most response, though, if you had to ask me, would be Stacy's Country Jamboree. It seems like that one comes up every couple of months. And people always have memories about the show and the concerts. And, you know, for a late night Saturday show, that was something else.
Well, it was indeed. And much like Eddie Driscoll and Weird in another time about a decade or so earlier, it was something that you didn't often see in a small market. And it was the only game in town, late night live show that people could go see in person if they wanted. But for a whole lot of people, it was appointment television. This is in the days before there was a Saturday Night Live or a night show that our friend Danny Cashman does. And if you were up on a Saturday night, whether you liked country music or not, you tuned in to watch the Jamboree.
You're darn right you did. Yeah. And, like, again, Dick Stacy, classic catchphrases, these hands pump gas, smell these hands, you know, they stink. No, we've been very lucky, very blessed in Bangor to have some great personalities and some great programming.
So, as a kid, growing up here in Maine, who was it you heard or what was it you heard on the radio that made you say, I want to give that a try?
Mighty John Marshall.
There you go, right.
Definitely
there.
Him. He was just the epitome of class, smoothness, and he knew his music. If you rocked in Bangor, you rocked with Mighty John.
Yeah, he was an inspiration to a whole lot of people. Certainly one of my heroes growing up, and somebody that I listened to. I knew even then, and I still know it today, I could never be as cool as Mighty John, but it was something to aspire to.
Very much so. Another one who I really enjoyed, and I really don't know why, because he wasn't of my generation. His music was really not my type, but it would be the late, great Al Raleigh and his wife, Eileen.
Mm. Oh, they were so great, and I think I shared a letter. When I was little, I got sick. I was in the hospital for a couple of days, and I don't know who pulled the strings or whatever, but Al and Eileen came to visit me in my hospital room. I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. It was like Elvis to have them come in and visit with me and then to send me a follow-up letter later on. It was great, and they were such sweet and wonderful people as well.
Yep, I also got to work with Al at Community Radio. Enjoyed every moment of it, also with his son, Russ Van Arsdale. Couldn't ask for a better family.
No, and you know, there's another guy that you've celebrated on the Facebook page, and I had a chance to work with him way back at the beginning of my career over at Channel 5, but he is a legend in his own right, particularly on Ellsworth and down on the coast, and just one of the nicest people in the world, the great Rick Foster.
Rick, yes. Rick won't forgive me because I helped get him the job at WDEA that lasted for 30 years. I love Rick Foster. He's one of the best.
Absolutely. Well, it's a wonderful sight. Steve, thank you dozens of times over for all the work that you do to tell the story of broadcasting here in the Bangor area and beyond. It really is a wonderful page. You and everybody involved does a terrific job, and we appreciate you coming on and talking about it with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Rich. Anytime.
Steve Ginn with us here on Downtown. Appreciate it, Steve.